Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, and this is 15, 16 straight months of this show. 65 hours. It's a book in itself. I hope you're getting to the website when you have the time to do that in your busy life. And I think you notice what I do on this show is I swing in and out of philosophy, theology, and then I get to the science. I get to the practical things. Because health is all of those things combined. You can't just look at it from one vantage point or you will lose. Most importantly, and we're not going to get on this today, but it's a spiritual journey. For the doctor included, and I hope you're getting a sense of that also. So welcome. We're going to do part two of what we started last week. Pharmaceutical drugs. We're going to get to recreational drugs. And the reason I'm going to do it is not because, you know, people listen to a show on pharmaceutical drugs and they say, well, yes, big deal. I know the drugs are bad for me. That's not why I do the show, thinking that you haven't heard that before. I do these shows the way I do them to bring more depth to you. Depth. We know and we know and we know and we know and we know. It's like marriage, right? On your wedding day, you understood love. 5 years later, you understood love. 10 years later, you understood love. And 50 years later, you understood love. When a 20-year-old is talking about his wife or husband and they're newly married, they're speaking a very different language than if someone that's been married to somebody for 50 or 60 years. Now, we can appreciate that. And the point is the depth that you bring to that topic is the difference between survival or failure when the rubber hits the road. And this is the point about pharmaceutical drugs. Yes, you understand that they're not that good for you. Go tell that to your MD when he looks at you in the big white coat and says you're out of your mind. You'll die if you go off these pharmaceutical drugs. You see, when you get tested, you better have a deeper understanding. And that's why I'm going into the science today, and you're going to take it. Well, I'm going to make it easy for you so it's easy to take it. I'm going to make it technical for you, but I've got that ability to turn that technical stuff into something palatable for you. And the reason I'm doing this, again, is because you can really get a sense of how, in the depth of yourself, what's going on. When we say drugs are toxic to the liver, when we say drugs are toxic to the kidney. So what does that mean? What does it mean when a drug is toxic to the liver? Well, again, we all know. I hope by now you know. And if you don't know, get on straighttalk.cc. That's the website. And listen to the shows about the liver so you understand. The liver does two things in a nutshell. It's like a big vacuum cleaner. It sucks all the poisons, like the drugs, after they've been metabolized. After the drug has hit your cell and done to the cell what that drug is supposed to do. That doesn't matter where. That could be your brain. It could be your liver. It could be your kidney. But once it goes to the liver, the liver's job then is to take it apart. And the liver can take it apart in hundreds of different ways that we don't have to get into. As the liver's taking it apart, it's going to take it and dump it into these passageways, like in the catacombs in Rome. Underneath the ground in Rome are miles of these secret passageways that lead to wherever. Well, the liver has a biliary system, and it takes these drugs and other things, infections, and dumps them into its version of the catacombs. It's called the bile ducts, and these ducts swing and move all this toxic fluid into your intestines, and you defecate it out at the end of the day. That, in short, is the liver. Now, listen to what can happen to the liver, and get the science, and get high on the science. Because one of my professed beliefs, and the more I study, the more I believe this, is that science has become a cult. The cult of science, almost in, what do you want to call it, retribution? I don't know what the right word for it is, but come on, think about it. How much science have you studied in your life that really isn't complicated, but it was just made complicated? And this has come back to bite us, truly, because as science determines our perception of reality, as it insists in its arrogance that it dictates what reality is, the reality of your health, certainly now. This is no joke here. Science, pharmaceutical science, the biochemistry of drugs, attempts to tell you the best way to take care of your health. And yet, if you investigate it, if you study it, you can see thousands of proofs for natural medicine, but you can't study it. You're not going to do what I do, generally, because the translation is too difficult. Science is written in a code. And that code, as far as I'm concerned, is at least partly intentional. Years ago, we laughed at Revenge of the Nerds. And all of you know the hazards and pains of getting to understand computer languages. Well, there's another sort of nerd out there. It's called the scientist. And he speaks in a language that, as far as I'm concerned, from studying enough of it, really just covers up his anger on other levels. Bizarre, huh? The truth, yes. And that's why you like this show, because I try to translate the science into a palatable form. You need that. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting there looking at a man in a white coat pretending to be a scientist, which he is certainly not, telling you that science says that statin drugs are good. Science says that Coumadin will take you to the other side if you're concerned about a stroke. Science says so on and so forth, and it's the cult of science not really understanding itself anymore. So what happens to the cells of the liver? I'm going to give you six examples of it, and we'll break them down. This is fun. One thing it can do is go into the liver cell, which is called the hepatocyte, and it can covalently bind the drug to proteins inside the hepatocyte, inside the cell. Covalent binding of the drug to intracellular proteins causes a decrease in ATP levels, leading to actin disruption. Disassembly of the actin fibrils at the surface of the hepatocyte causes blebs and ruptures of the membrane. Right, you're already nauseous. You just don't want to listen to this. This is fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating if you can translate it. And I'm going to translate it. So let's say it again. Covalent binding of the drug to intracellular proteins, those are proteins inside the cell, causes a disruption and a decrease in ATP levels, leading to actin disruption, ACTIN. Disassembly of these actin fibrils at the surface of the liver cell causes blebs and ruptures the membrane. Let's break that down. Covalent binding of the drug. Covalent refers to the power of the bond. It means the drug comes in there and it just doesn't flatter and coerce and persuade relationships with the hepatocyte, binding relationships. Covalent binding means there are exchanges at the atomic level that the atoms are talking to the other atoms with very powerful new relationships made, bonds that are made. And these bonds do not break so easily. These are not ionic bonds. These are not hydrogen bonding. This is not van der Waals forces. These are connections that the drug makes to the hepatocyte, the liver cell, that are very difficult to break once they're made. And it goes inside the cell. The covalent binding to the proteins inside the cell causes a decrease in ATP levels. What's ATP? ATP is the currency of the cell. ATP is the dollars and cents of the cell. If your liver cell has 50 things to do, remember that liver cell is not just detoxing you, it's storing iron. That liver cell is making proteins, the albumin and the globulin that has to go out. That liver cell has hundreds of functions that are not just about detox. They're about how it fertilizes and stores. And the way the liver cell does these 1,200 to 1,400 jobs that it has, we count that many, is by making in the mitochondria of that liver cell ATP. ATP is dollars and cents. So covalent binding of the drug to proteins inside the cell, that's a powerful bond. That drug gets in there, it takes over, and it decreases the currency of the cell, leading to actin disruption. Actin is simply a fiber. It's a protein fiber. And those protein fibers, the hepatocyte is using to make what it's supposed to make. It's like the hepatocyte is a factory, and you feed it what it needs, and then it makes money, and it spends the money making structures. And when you get that drug in there, it stops then the production of those structures. If the hepatocyte is making little bricks so it can build a house somewhere, those bricks are no longer made because there's no money to pay for those bricks because the ATP is gone. And the person dictating this disruption has a powerful covalent ability, so to speak. And as all these bricks fall apart, as all this actin that you wanted to use to do something useful with falls apart, the cell knows it. The cell looks at these actin, these partially made bricks, these crumbling low quality bricks that it can't really use to do what the liver's supposed to do. The liver looks at these lousy little bricks and says, get out of my house. So the bricks, the actin fibrils, get pushed to the surface or to the membrane of the cell. And as we're pushing out our garbage, what was once our important product is now our garbage. The liver cell is saying, I make bricks, and I don't like the looks of them, so it's garbage. So get out of the cell. So the liver cell then pushes these actin fibrils to the surface of the hepatocyte, causing blebs, B-L-E-B-S. A bleb is simply a, how would you call it? It's a sequestration, or it's a storage site. It's the cell surrounding this ugly looking brick and pushing it out. It's engulfing it. The cell will engulf its own garbage and push it out through the membrane. Now take that all the way back to the beginning. A powerful agent, something that can covalently bind to the inside of the cell, causing a decrease in the currency of the cell, the ATP levels, so that the bricks it makes, the actin, are low-grade, poor-quality bricks. And the cell sees it and starts pushing those low-quality bricks, those actin fibrils, to the edge of the cell, whereby the cell engulfs them as a bleb and pushes them out as the membrane of the hepatocyte ruptures. That's how some drugs destroy your liver. How about this one? Disruption of transport proteins. Drugs that affect the transport proteins at the canonicular membrane can interrupt bile flow.